Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full of the Holy
Grail. Good afternoon, everyone. 4:45 on a Saturday afternoon. Welcome to the show, a special edition of Kimbo and The Rooch as we preview Showdown 53. We're live from the Adelaide Oval thanks to our good friends at Hyundai and Balfour's who have been baking people happy since 1853. Well, The Rooch, he's been drinking the old Goanna oil today. He's up and about. Let's bring him in.
Party people!
Rooch, here he is. Rooch, here he is. Hey. Rooch, shakalaka, shakalaka.
Oh, Richie Rooch, I love the Goanna oil. Back in the day, I used to get the masseurs to rub it into you before the game, put it on the shoulders so you couldn't
you
get tackled.
Didn't drink
no,
it.
We didn't. What's wrong with you? It must have been free.
Hello, Kim. How are you?
Are you up and about?
Well, I'm actually quite entertained by this Sandful showdown. There's a lot of AFL, you know, storylines emerging in this one.
Yeah. Like, you're 32 points down, though.
No, but I'm looking at players and little contests like this. They've both coaches have treated us. Georgiades v. Borlase. How much of that is about finding out about each player?
Yeah,
and early they were really going head-to-head aerial stuff. Georgiades, you'll ask how his goal kicking's gone. Well, he's had one shot at goal, which was only about 3 minutes ago, and he hit the post.
Yeah, and he just flew for a mark there at the front of the pack and
he's
got
been busy.
Crunch. So we can tell you the scores are live here at the Adelaide Oval. We're 9 minutes into the third term. 3-7 Port Adelaide. They've been inaccurate, 25. Adelaide 9-3-57. And we can give everyone a heads up who the subs will be in the main showdown today. Because Chase Jones is not out there, so he will be the sub for the Adelaide Crows. And Roach, Port Adelaide.
Does not have Orazio Fantasia on the field, so he will be Port Adelaide's tactical sub, which is
an interesting
little ploy, because we've heard during the week where Orazio Fantasia actually said himself he needs to find some form. Well, you don't find much form while sitting on the bench, but you could have that moment that builds your confidence when you're shot into the showdown at a critical moment, Kim.
Well, he can do some very
tactical,
special and clever things. Mm. Yeah, you would say in terms of his football development for this year, maybe not ideal.
No,
he probably needs a block of footy, a bit like Miller last year. Go back, have a month in the Sandful, maybe. But sitting on the pine for three quarters, but if he comes on, and
could,
ices the game.
Could be the greatest shot of confidence you ever get.
Yeah, but then again, Rich, you think you'll be that far in front at three-quarter time, don't you?
I hope.
You do.
I hope.
And, Actually, with reason.
When we left the studio last night, and you get some wonderful stuff from Champion Data, it is interesting when you look at the last six showdowns. We've had two that have lived up to the reputation of this being a dramatic game, the Jordan Dawson one last year. Yep. So we had two in the last six that have been four-point games.
Mm.
But the rest of them have been won by Port Adelaide by 56, 49, 75 and 57 points.
But it shouldn't surprise you.
No, because of what the state of what Adelaide was at.
Exactly. So they finished bottom in one of those years and they went for the total rebuild.
Mm.
So perhaps more surprising were the two victories. Certainly round
three.
No, they
went, well, they won each of 4 points.
Mm.
So Adelaide's only won one of the past six. Yeah.
All righty, we've got a bit to go through. We're live and interactive. We'd like a little bit of company today. Seems we're down here doing the hard yards, Rooch. Just sitting back in the comfy chairs, watching a great game.
It's a great
setting,
though, isn't it? This is a great setting as a football venue.
It's
a
beautiful
venue,
stadium.
Full stop.
Yeah, we're straight across from the Max Bashir stand. Foss Williams stand. He'll be happy that the prison bars are being worn today.
Yep. He wouldn't be happy us calling them prison bars, but he certainly would be happy to see them on Adelaide Oval again. Of course, Port Adelaide story under Foss Williams was so strong that I think it was the 1956 Premiership dinner was where they had Sir Donald Bradman as a guest of that function. And at that stage, Port had only been wearing those bars again for about a decade or so, because they went, I mean, during the war, you can imagine the limitation of wool and so forth. They copied the stripes rather than bars.
Yep, and then we helped you out for a couple of premierships as well, the Mighty Eagles.
Yeah.
Bob, or was Hanks, it the other way
Bob around? Bob Hanks' first game was in a Port Adelaide jumper when the Port Adelaide West Torrens were amalgamated. But anyway, it was that grand final dinner where Sir Donald Bradman said to Bob McLean, the big leader of Port Adelaide, this is the jumper you should be wearing.
And when the Don spoke, people listen. Hey, there's been a little bit of football happening. As I was about to say, though, we're live and interactive. Send us a text on 0427 154 166. Well, if you want a chin wag about today's game, 1300 736 736. We'll do a nearest the pin too, just to entice people to involved. You have the chance of winning a Signet Boost power bank. It's worth $44.95. What it does, it makes sure that your phone, your tablet or your earbuds are powered 24/7. Your mobile will never go flat again. All you have to do is predict who wins the showdown and by how much. And Rooch, to kick it off, which way would you be going?
I've got Port Adelaide winning by 4 goals 12.
4 goals 12. Hang on, what's
6
that?
Goals.
Oh, 6. Oh,
you but you know what Port's like when they start scoring? It is a lot of behind. So when I 4 goals 12, though.
Have you looked at the Crows this year? We will see more points today than goals.
Well, we might. Yeah, you're right.
We probably will.
They're not reassuring for their goal-kicking either side, are they, at the moment?
No. Send us a text. We want to know if anyone's out there listening. The text line is 0427 154 166. Ethel, Mario, the big ginger. If you want to jump on the line, have a crack at it. You can win this Signet Boost power bank. Incidentally, we did it last night as well in the game between Collingwood and Richmond.
Who won?
No idea, Rooch. I was hosting a corporate function for IGA and Foodland.
Well, there's a stage through the third quarter where you would have been going, "I've told you so," but they found a way, Collingwood.
They are gone. The Pies are gone. They got up by 14 points. Yes, I was having a quick look on the phone in between breaks on the stage.
They were 3-11 at one stage, Kim. Yeah. They should have had it so much locked away that it wasn't funny. But you've got to give it credit to Richmond. They found something in rather testing conditions to just change the way in which the game was
being
played.
Well, they made it a low-scoring game.
Yeah. Which is what we spoke about that on Friday. They couldn't allow it to be a shootout because Collingwood would burn them on that one. But some interesting notes. I mean, we're watching Billy Frampton, aren't we, because of his career here in Adelaide.
Now, obviously, Rich, I haven't had time to see it
today. He did the job. I mean, when Lynch is down to one goal and having minimal influence in the game, you've got to say he's done his job. Now,
and he got that late in the game, didn't he?
Yeah, so this might be it. Third time lucky.
I hope
third
so.
Time to charm.
I love those stories.
I mean, we've all known the talent. We've always been questioning, was it a case of he's such a very good player at Sandful level, but it doesn't translate to the AFL. Mm. Well, this is going to be his last chance. So, we talk about pennies dropping. This is not so much about a penny dropping. This might be, maybe he's matured to a point whereby it is going to work for him.
Well, he's at that age, isn't he?
Well, he
played a great
is.
Game against St Kilda when he was playing with the Crows the year before. 14 points the margin. Richmond had four of their better players out, including Dustin Martin.
Yeah.
Jerry's still out on Collingwood for me. I'm sticking fat, Roach. Not convincing. Just updating the scores here in the first of the two showdowns. Adelaide 69-26, so it's 3-8-11-3. Looking good. As we all know, Thursday night, bit of an upset. Western Bulldogs getting over Brisbane. So
yeah,
Brisbane
are
1-2. That was 14 points. You tipped them all week and didn't have the courage, Roach.
No.
And earlier today, this was a good game of football in Launceston. Hawks v. the Roos, and it was the Hawks by 19 points. And I can tell you, Sam Mitchell was smiling, Rich.
Absolutely. And everyone will be grateful that Alistair Clarkson's on a plane on his own, because he wouldn't be much comfort sitting next to him today.
I tell you, they were 5 goals down. They had
32 points down.
Yeah, they had a shocker in the third term. Looked like they'd blown the game. Fought back, got within 3 points, and genuinely looked like they were going to overrun the Hawks. They had all the momentum. So a good effort by the young Hawks to get up by 19 points there.
The feel-good story, Tyler Brockman, who hadn't played for the Hawks. He's a small forward who hadn't played since late in 2021. Becomes much of a hero in this game, kicking 3 goals and setting up the sealer for them at the end. And Will Day, who we know very well from his South Australian connections,
good
was
player.
Very impressive. So after what we've seen in the first two rounds with Hawthorn, to get that result would be more than comforting for Sam Mitchell. It looked like he was having a horror weekend against Sydney last week. Doesn't take much to change your fortunes in this game at times.
Well, they're 1-2. That's better than what Adelaide are at the moment. Big game coming up. Yeah. We'll be all over it with Mark Bickley and David Wilde. A little bit later in the show, we'll be joined by Nathan Van Berlo. We spoke to him yesterday. Be interested to speak to him about the reasoning behind Chase Jones. I thought they may have gone with Ned McHenry as the sub. Mm. He gives energy.
Yep.
He's annoying. Antagonist.
So,
not the case. So we'll be joined by him. Mark Bickley will come in for a chat and David Wilde as well. That's all happening in the next hour and a half. There's another game underway, Roach. That's at Giants Stadium. We are 8 minutes into the second term there. And the Giants are leading Carlton. Just the 2 points, 33-31. Jesse Hogan's kicked a couple already. Most of the other goals have been kicked by the smaller players. So we will keep you totally across that. We are live and interactive, so send us a text. I'm not sure if the thing's bloody working, Roach, or not. We'll try and refresh it. And if you want to be a part of Nearest the Pin, tell us who wins the showdown and by how much, and you can win that Signet Boost Power Bank. It is valued at $44.95. Let's have a listen to a few of the people that we've spoken to throughout the week, Roach. Chad Corns, we spoke to him yesterday. And it's a big loss, Ryan Burton, because he would have had the job on Rochelle or Isaac Rankin. This is what the Chad had to say.
Yeah, it's been a real topic of discussion, obviously, especially for Nathan Bassett this week. Riley Bonner will come in, Tom Cleary will come in. Both have played great games for the footy club in the past. But, yeah, missing Burdo will be a loss for us because he both, defends normally the opposition's best small forward and not great last week as with the rest of the team, but round one, what he gave us in offence was outstanding as well. So, big loss for us, but, like I said, Clubs and Bonds have been in good form, doing all the right things on the track, so we're pretty excited to get those two back in.
So that makes it very interesting, Kim, on what is seen of Darcy Byrne-Jones and Riley Bonner today.
Big you job for both of them.
I think Bonner gets more of the task of getting that ball out of that defensive 50 and moving it very quickly through to the forwards. But Darcy Byrne-Jones has been challenged pretty much for the past two games. And we know before about the test that they've given him in showdowns. You remember the times when he was asked to look after Eddie Betts, and that didn't always end too well.
No,
so
well, it didn't for a lot of them.
No, I understand
Tommy Jonas
that.
Did a couple of reasonable jobs, but he got stitched up
I think
as
we'll be watching Darcy Byrne-Jones with a great deal of interest tonight as to who he matches up on and how he does the job.
Kenny Hinkley did a press conference yesterday. It's the showdown press conference. He did it with the opposition coach, Matthew Nix. Ken was asked about the importance of home crowds. Here's Kenny.
Yeah, there's no doubt your home showdown is really important. And for us, we've got a packed out stadium tomorrow night of Port people. And for those who can't, the members who can't actually get there, we'd love the Port members to hand their ticket over to another Port person so we can actually fill the place up. Because it is an intimidating environment. It doesn't matter. When we play the reverse showdown and it's theirs, it feels the same for our players. So when it's your turn to own the stadium, you need to bloody own it. And we're going to try to own it with Port Adelaide people tomorrow night. And it's going to be a hostile environment for the Adelaide Crows.
At the moment, there's a few thousand people here. Rich, what would you say? It's hard to tell. It's good to see people out watching the Sandful and seeing AFL-listed players on their squads.
Kim, if we don't see five in front of the figure for the attendance tonight, then something's gone terribly wrong.
Well, let's get this right. It is a sellout. The only reason we won't get 50 is if members don't turn up.
And we live in an era where you can have digital passes moved on by just sending off a text or an email. So the message is quite clear from everyone. If you have a ticket, you cannot use it, but you have someone who would love to be here, pass it on to them.
Pass it on. You've still got time to do that. Just having a look at some of these younger players out here at the moment. Rich, we'll talk about them shortly. Let's hear from Matthew Nix as well. We don't like the word hate, do we? In general, in life, Rich.
No, but we
you're
do
a bit with me with that.
But we do like the fact that there is passion in the showdown and that there is a genuine rivalry, a genuine sporting rivalry, as Ken Inglee would put it.
Matthew Nix spoke about the hatred for Port.
What you call them, Port Power last year?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, the hatred's mutual.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. And it's not, like, I think Kenny nailed it. It's not a personal hatred. I mean, Tom Jonas and I'd say solid mates, at least I thought we were. It's not personal. It's just, it's white line. It's, we cross that, it's a battle. I think that's why people love it. That's why we pack the stadium out. That's why it's one of the highest rated games on the calendar. Because there is that, you know, we watch Port play on weekends and we want them to lose. It is what it is. We don't like them.
Matt, one of the great things we don't like them. Yeah.
So one of the great things of our city since 97 is that we've got a derby in town, and we've got two teams that actually feed off each other to be competitively better, don't they?
Yep.
I mean, even the Crows made the point that as soon as Port Adelaide came into the competition, they felt they had to work harder to be better. Mm. That's the good thing about competition in life, in business, and in sport. So, and we've got one of the best rivalries in Australian football, haven't we?
Australian sport, I'd say, Rich. Yeah, and it's Showdown 53. Mm. We'll talk to someone a little bit later that was actually out there in the heat of battle, Mark Bickley, who'll be part of our commentary.
He should have
tonight.
A Showdown medal too.
Yeah, well, retrospectively, we may get that organised, Rich. David Wilde will join us as well. And you talk about the acceptance and the acknowledgement of the rivalry between these two sides. Full credit to SEN. Our coverage will be going live all around Australia, every country, region, every capital city around the nation. That's how big Showdowns are. Indeed. And it's been acknowledged by all and sundry. We need to go to a break, Roach. I can tell you the score, unless it hasn't refreshed. Unless no one's getting a kick at Giant Stadium, I'll just refresh it again. It is 39-33, Giants leading by a goal. We've had 14, nearly 15 minutes of the second term there at the Giant Stadium. We'll keep you across that one. And in the other showdown here, which is underway, the Sandful Showdown, Port Adelaide 3-8-28. Or 26, that is, struggling to 14-4-88. The Crows well on top. This is Kimba and the Roach. Thanks to Hyundai, the Hyundai Tucson, tomorrow's SUV, in stock now.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roach.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roach. I'm still full of the Holy
Grail. Welcome back to the Adelaide Oval. Kimbo and the Roach with you with our special edition, the preview of Showdown 53. We're live and interactive. You can send a text on 0427 154 166. Appreciate it's a little jammed at the moment. A lot of people wanting to get involved with nearest the pin. Tell us who wins the showdown and by how much, and you can win a Signet Boost Power Bank valued at $44.95. What it does is it keeps your phone, your tablet and your earbuds powered 24/7. So send those texts through now. And the number is 0427 154 166. Roach, quick update on the showdown, the Sandful Showdown.
Crows are leading as well as they did last week at Alberton, 14-5-89 to Port Adelaide's 5-8-38. So
alrighty.
I think we can lock this one in as an Adelaide win in the Sandful Showdown.
Yeah, good start in the opening round then for the Crowies. We're here thanks to Balfour's. No matter your club's colours, Balfour's are for the game. Love their support at Giant Stadium. We've got a close one, Roach. 20-minute mark of the second term, 39 points apiece, all locked away. Who wins that one?
Form lines at the moment are just irrelevant, aren't they?
I've
tipped Carlton, but now all of a sudden you look at some of those moments early in the game and you say, well, Adam Kingsley's got the Giants working well.
Well, and you've got Josh Kelly back this week and Lockie Whitfield back.
There's always a bit between GWS Carlton, because you remember the days of when Carlton kept taking GWS players, and there's always a bit of heat in, you know, that little battle there. It's not a showdown.
They absolutely drained them, but there are a lot of peripheral players.
Oh, I know that.
I think they had about six on their list at one stage, didn't they?
Indeed they did.
Yeah, a few targets being missed out here. Conditions pretty good, though.
Am I allowed to have a mini roast on a showdown, though?
You can do whatever you want, Rich. I know they've been running Adelaide for a long time.
I know Brad Scott left AFL and the football department there to go and coach Essendon, and good luck to him. But his absence, or the absence of a football chief at AFL House, keeps showing up, and just little minor details that do make a difference on match day. But if you've got Richmond and Collingwood playing a game, you don't put the umpires in black and fluorescent yellow, do you?
Now, you were dirty on this one. I was hosting a corporate function. I didn't see it. But we've seen this a few times.
The presentation of the sport. All the colours you could have for the umpires' uniforms. even the old-fashioned white at times.
Well, Rooch, we had complaints about round one, GWS and yep. Adelaide, and Adelaide should have been in the away white strip.
Yep. So,
mind you, we did it for 100 years. The only difference was black shorts and white shorts.
But it's... You talk about the presentation, how it looks on TV and building audience and so forth. Why put the umpires in black and fluorescent yellow when you've got Richmond out there against Collingwood?
I'm with you.
Seems insane. Anyway, absence of Brad Scott, no football department chief there at AFL House.
Oh, you'd like to think that he had an understudy, Rich. It's someone that's in a position to...
Well, as one leading football official said to me during the week, it seems to be run by memo at the moment. They just keep sending out memos
really?
From the department. So the sooner we get the succession plan sorted out at AFL House and someone appointed into that role, the better, I think. There's my roast for the day.
Very competent human, Mr. or Mrs. Memo, and bloody annoying as well at times because you have to respond, Rooch. Mark Bickley coming up, yes. David Wilde and Nathan Van Burlo will join us. In all fairness, for Port fans, it's a home game. We did ask the Port Adelaide Footy Club, and normally really good if we could grab someone, but they're all flat chat at the moment. Rooch, we'll get Bix in. He's the expert. He's the dual premiership captain, but you look at the sides for this game today. Now, I can make a case for Adelaide winning based on the style of football they played for three quarters out of their last eight. And it's been pretty specky.
Yeah, and we know that the core base of them being competitive and making any team that plays Adelaide yep. feel they've been in a contest has been built for a long time now.
Yeah, they do all the one percenters. Yep. Just going through the midfields. All right, and this is where Crows have been bashed up a little bit.
This is probably the critical part of this showdown.
Because they're hot and cold, the Crows, and you get that when you have kids in there that have had minimum minutes. You look at Port. Tell me if I've missed anyone. Rosie, these are the people that will be rotating through the middle. Rosie, Butters, Wines, Boak, Drew, Jason Horn, Francis. You have Bergman and Dersma on the wings.
And they can throw Sam Powell Pepper in there if they want a bit
if
of grunt.
If he has to.
If they want a bit of grunt.
And, you know, each club can mix them around a little bit. You could say that with Rory Sloane, but he's not going to have many minutes. Crows, and you have a look at it. Rosie, Butters, Wines, Boak, Jason Horn, Francis and Drew. Mm. I know Drew's not an attractive name, but he's very businesslike.
He's effective, yeah.
Crows, Laird, Berry, Keys, Soligo, Rochelle, Rankin. And then I give Dawson as a squirt because he hasn't been getting much more than that. Mm. And then you have Scholl and Hinge or Sloane across the wings. It's heavily in favour of Port Adelaide.
Yeah. So there's a class advantage, there's an experience advantage. Yeah, there's a difference there.
There's a finishing advantage too.
Yep.
Because people like Rosie and Butters, when they get the ball, someone else normally gets it.
Hey, Rosie doesn't mind having a shot at goal even from
the thing. You go through the forward setups as well, and you look at Port Adelaide, Dixon, Marshall, Rioli. And then you have perhaps Finlayson, obviously SPP. And then you'll have Rosie Butters and Jason Horn Francis, different times resting down there. And they'll do some damage. Those three will, at least two of them will hit the scoreboard, you would imagine. So then you look at the Crows, Walker, Gallant, no Fogarty. Thilthorpe, still finding his way, young player. Year or two behind what Marshall's doing now.
Yep.
Fair call. Rochelle Rankin, Pedler.
Yeah, the loss of Fogarty really is big in this one, isn't it?
Yeah, he's come of age very quickly after a long time.
Yeah.
So fair discrepancies there. The way I see it, we know that Chase Jones is going to be the sub. I think Butts will go to Dixon. I'll be interested what Bick says about this. Murray, possibly Marshall. And I think Michael Annie will go to Rioli, which is a big task. But he's had Shea Bolton and Toby Green in his first two AFL games.
If Dixon is true the way he's been playing recently and leading fast and strong and holding those marks, hard to stop. So that would be challenging for Butts. If that big body gets
everyone.
I understand that.
If Butts and Candy Nuts reach, he has to do it. One thing, the knock on Butts is he doesn't take intercept marks and he's not a real runoff player, but he's a stopper.
There, and the contrast at the other end is Alir Alir, who became an All-Australian in that style.
Yeah, so who does he go to?
Who goes to Walker? Is the best way to use Alir Alir in that defence tonight? Mm.
Well, it's when he can read the play and intercept.
Do you remember that pre-season showdown that we saw at Norlunga, where what did he take 150 marks that day, didn't he?
Mm.
That's how Port Adelaide would want him today. To actually.
Well, we've seen some clubs. I can't remember which. Someone can help us out.
The Western Bulldogs exposed to Leo.
Yeah, 0427154166, where they get him dragged out to the pocket.
That was the Western Bulldogs.
Or they effectively shutting him down and tagging him. So it'll be interesting. Pressure on Walker. I'm not sure where Tom Jonas goes today. Help me out there. Or someone give us a call, 1300 736 736. We know he can take smaller players. Will he look, in the absence of Burton, will he take a Rochelle Rankin?
Ooh.
So you're giving that to Bonner? Are you giving that to DBJ? DBJ's meant to give you a run from the back half. So you don't want him with a shutdown role. You wouldn't have thought.
No, there's some interesting matchups there indeed.
All righty, we're going to go to a break. If you want to be a part of the Nearest the Pin, who wins Showdown 53? The Crows or Port Adelaide, and by how much? You can win a Signet Boost power bank valued at $44.95. Get your predictions in for tonight's big game. It'll make sure your phone, your tablet or your earbuds are powered 24/7. Just trying to refresh and get the score here from the Giants, Roach. Yeah, at the Adelaide Oval, it just takes a second. We get a little bit of interference. Oh, hello. It was 39 points apiece. Carlton's gone whackety-whack. It's 53-39 at the 28-minute marks. They've gone crazy in the last 6 minutes, Roach.
Giants coming off a trip from the West as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I'll check the goal kickers for everyone. Well, maybe I can just do it now if you bear with me, Roach. I'll have a look. I reckon McKay hadn't got... Oh, he still hasn't kicked one. And has Curnow got one yet? I'm just going through the stats. Missed it. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Charlie Curnow's kicked one. So Harry McKay yet to bother the scorer. Curnow has one. All right, so big turnaround there in the last 6 minutes. 53-39. Here at the Adelaide Oval, Port Adelaide, 5-8-38. Trailing the Crows, 14-5-89. All righty, we'll go to a break. This is Kimbo and the Roach. We are here thanks to Hyundai, the Hyundai Tucson. Tomorrow's SUV in stock now.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roach.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roots. I'm still a fool for the Holy Grail.
Yeah, I'm a fool for the Holy Grail. Welcome back to the Adelaide Oval, 5:20 on a Saturday afternoon. Special edition of Kimbo and the Roots. We're here thanks to Balfours. No matter your club's colours, Balfours are for the game. They've been baking people happy since 1853. I'm here. The Roots is here. We'd love to hear from you. The text line is 0427 154 166. Who wins Showdown 53? Well, we've got a prize. It's worth $44.95. You can win a Signet Boost power bank. Keeps your phone, tablet, earbuds powered 24/7. Just send us a text on 0427 154 166. Heard anything from the match review committee?
I've got a memo from the AFL.
Have you?
It's just a repeat of yesterday's memo, just as there was no report from the Western Bulldog Brisbane game. Collingwood at Richmond's been given the all clear by Michael Christian. So no report at all, Kim.
Oh, nothing to report then, Roach.
Still. Better everyone know.
Exactly. All right, let's hear from a few people we spoke to during the week in regards to tonight's big game. Matthew Nix talking about the inclusion of Jordan Butts. We think, do you agree, he'll go to Charlie Dixon?
Seems the obvious.
The obvious match, one. All right, let's hear from Nixie.
Oh, Buttsy took it. Buttsy did exactly what we were after. Sometimes you make decisions not purely around... you need time back. It's about sometimes a jolt, sometimes it's just a response you're looking for, and we got that response. It's not always something you see on a footy field. He's a really important part of our journey and where we're heading. He's a rock solid key defender at his best. He's beaten some of the best forwards in the game. He responded really well to the challenge we put to him and come back in the side this week.
What did he do?
from a response point of view. Well, there's stuff that we'll hold behind closed doors. But it's not just what you're doing on a footy field. Obviously, the team that went out there last weekend in a practice match played some good footy. He was very much a part of that. There's a lot more than that, a lot more behind the scenes.
Interpret that one for us, Kip.
Well, there's a little bit of Matt Crouch about that again, isn't there, where he didn't probably really have the answer, saying it's
behind closed
doors.
Well, no, he has the answer, but he won't give it to us.
Mm. Yeah. Well, did he? Interesting. We received a text from Lockie yesterday or the day before. Well, last night it must have been, after those comments, and said if he was so good in the reserves, how come he wasn't in the best players, made the best players?
Yeah, but Matthew Nix made a pretty strong point in that press conference that there were other things they were looking for, and that sort of image of... They challenged him about Monday to Friday. You can understand why they want to keep that in-house, but it's intriguing, isn't it? As to what challenges they set him about, maybe about preparation of how you prepare for a game, etc. So, there's a lot more to it now than there used to be.
Well, I heard he was the consummate professional, so I'd be very surprised by that. You would have
liked
him.
Every so often, everyone needs a nudge.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You can get a little bit comfortable. You wouldn't have thought
so. Even Sir Donald Bradman got dropped from the Test cricket team, Kim.
Well, that was very early on, wasn't it?
I think there was one late, too, for him, too. Yeah. He did respond when he came back, and I think it was a double century.
Well, he should have been dropped after that last innings of his reach, whether retire or not. Hey, Nixie also spoke about the inclusion of Lockie Gallant. We've spoken to this lad on our show. Yeah. Kicked six in the Sandful trial against Port the week before.
He's got showdown form, hasn't he?
Yeah, he kicked three or four in round three last year. I like him as a player. Tacks the ball hard. I think he could end up being a defender as well, but he hasn't been given a chance there. Let's hear what Nixie had to say about Lockie Gallant.
Yeah, well, it's been probably our strength so far this year has been that pressure from below. We saw Lockie Scholl come in, performed last week at AFL level, Murphy as well, and was able to do it. He came in with some really strong form. So Lockie Gallant sits in exactly the same spot. He's trained really well right throughout pre-season. He's been pushing. It was tough to get in. Obviously, with Tex down there, Fogg, Himmelberg, those guys performing, so... He gets his opportunity, I've got no doubt. He's played in a showdown before and performed reasonably well.
That was Ken Inkley. He's got long memories. Good player on the lead. He knows how to find space, Lockie Gallant, doesn't he?
Would Tommy Jonas go to him? We'll get all that and more from Bix. Just updating you here in the other showdown. Port Adelaide 6-9-45, trying to drag themselves back into the game. Trailing 15-6 to 96, so they're 51 points.
We had those
what is that, Roach? 51
oh,
points.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
We had those text messages during the week. But who was it who kept asking about Josh Sinn and where he was at? Well, in this game here, he's Port Adelaide's highest possession getter. About to reach 20 disposals for this game, so he's clearly getting enough of the ball to say he's on his way to making someone think of the match committee.
Oh, he's got a lot of talent. Watched him play one of the first trial games 2 years ago at, was it Albion or Richmond Oval? I can't remember where. But you can tell he's a footballer, Rich. Mm. Just been a little unlucky. I think he'll play a lot of league football. We're 11 minutes into the final term here at the Adelaide Oval. Adelaide going to this game as the absolute underdogs. There's a fair discrepancy when you look at the markets. Matthew Nix. Well, he spoke about the players rising to the occasion in a showdown. Benny back in the studio, number 13.
Yeah, the talk of the town, and you sort of got to buy into it to a point, but you don't want to get too overawed by it. And I've played in a fair few now, so you sort of just, you learn to enjoy them and the rivalry that it is and the build-up that it is. So, Port a really quality opposition, and you see with how... Some of the games have gone recently, they're always pretty even. So, pretty exciting this week. It always is in Adelaide.
Well, that was Rory Laird. Rory Laird. That was Rory from last Monday. Just got a text coming down the line from Bumfluff Benny saying, sorry, boys. All right, Benny, let's hear from Matthew Nix, players rising to the occasion.
Showdown seemed to bring out the best, I think, in most, well, South Australians. And then the boys that, I guess, become SA... South Australians, after they've been here for long enough, they know what a showdown means. So that rivalry is what sort of lifts everyone for a showdown clash. And I think both teams coming off performances, we were as frustrated and disappointed as what I'm sure Ken and his crew were after last weekend. It's a long week when you come off a loss. The game can't get here quick enough, so Saturday night is going to be should be a ripper. I've got no doubt that mob will come out breathing fire. Especially if he's got anything to do with it, but our guys love that, so we look forward to it.
Everyone wants to win a showdown, Kim. But if you lose, the assessment of where you're at, what you've done, what you're doing, where you're going, becomes very, very bitter, in some cases twisted. The team that's got the most to lose tonight is clearly Port Adelaide. Clearly. But how would we judge Adelaide if there is a six-goal gap and it stays to the form that there's been there for the past 3 years? Because we're all trying to work out where Adelaide is. We know the story. We know the narrative about the rebuild and it's step-by-step, build games into the players.
They're capable of winning the game. Yep. The reality is, Rich, if Port Adelaide's not a six-better side than
Adelaide.
Six-goal yep. better than Adelaide at the moment. So if you played the game 5 weeks in a row, I'd like to think there'd be a winning margin in favour, or they'd win.
I get you. Yep.
Five or six out of those six. Five out of the six games.
Yeah.
At worst, four out of the six. Port are a better side. So you have to accept that. But what you have to do if you're an Adelaide supporter, you say, hey, they've got a winner in Michael Annie.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. They've done well getting Rankin back to the club.
Yep.
They've done well with Rochelle. Jordan Dawson's a good get. What hasn't happened a few years ago is that Chase Jones and Ed McHenry haven't gone to that level yet. Mm. So they missed a couple of drafts, which stops them from being a really strong side. You know, you're relying on Hinge now to step up, where he's, you know, struggled to get in the side in the past. You're relying on your ex-skipper coming back from a knee reconstruction to be a wingman against some absolute running machines. So he's giving up height, he's giving up speed. So you've just got to look at it realistically. Schonberg hasn't gone to the next level. He's teased a few occasions. Will he ever get to that level? I'm not sure. You hope. You don't like putting a line through young players. But a lot of questions to be asked and answered. We'll go to one more grab before we go to a break. And we spoke to Chad Corns yesterday, and there's been a lot of talk about the Prison Bar jumpers, and I fully respect and appreciate the passion and the desire for Port Adelaide to wear it in at least one game. I know they want two in the two showdowns. You know, to me, that's not realistic. We can go down that track if you need to be, but this is all about promoting and respecting their heritage. They're doing it in their home game. I'm not sure why Adelaide need to give them a free kick in that regard, but that's for the Adelaide Footy Club. That would be a business decision to me. But they mean something. They mean a lot. Let's hear what Chad Corns thought about wearing the Prison Bar jumper.
I remember the first time I put it on, we wore it 2002 v Carlton.
Yep.
Never worn the Guernsey before, but I've never been able to articulate it properly, what it felt like. And this sounds quite dumb, but I just felt tougher and stronger when I put it on. And there's that air of invincibility around it when you put it on. You know, having watched Port beat up Glenelg so often in the late 80s, early 90s, it was a jumper that I was a bit intimidated by as a young kid, because of the way the boys played in it, how passionate the Port supporters were, and just pretty much how often they beat Glenelg up. So it was an absolute honour to wear it that first time, and to be able to wear it, you know, two or three more times throughout the rest of my career was, you know, the very special moments.
I understand everything Chad's saying because I grew up in that environment, okay? So that's it. I'm really curious on your side because I remember when I went to the States, people would talk about baseball players would be hypnotised by the pinstripes of the New York Yankees because their uniform is as symbolic as Port Adelaide. But you played against the Bars. Did it ever look a jumper that was different to every other jumper on the park? Did it have a symbolic or a mystical effect on opposition players?
Rich, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I'd rather be honest about it. And I can't speak for everyone. It may not have intimidated other players. We can ask Bix when he gets in here. He barracked for Port as a young lad.
Yeah, he did.
As a kid, you have to understand, for myself, though, Roach, when I was playing for North Adelaide and West Torrens, you know, Port Adelaide had been so successful.
Exactly.
So you grow up seeing them as a really successful and powerful club that won more than they lost. So when you get out there, there's all of a sudden, whether it's the jumper, whether it's the record, the history of the Port Adelaide Football Club, you knew you were up against it. Whereas you go up against another side, and respectfully, whether it be Woodville or whether it be Central District at the time, or Glenelg, you know, had moments when they weren't a real competitive club. You'd give yourself a chance, but there was something in my era when you were coming up against Sturt and Port, because as kids we grew up with them playing in nearly every grand final.
So a bit like the big V-jumper of Victoria.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. And also playing my first game at Albion Oval and being spat on running out of the grandstand, Rooch, was not a good experience. Well, on
least,
that note...
Well, at least it kept you fresh.
Yeah, and you shouldn't have done it, and you should have cleaned your teeth that day. We need to go to a break. We can tell you here the score is 6-10-45. I know it was you. The 17-7-109. You're a grot. This is Kimbo on the Rooch. We're here thanks to Hyundai and Balfours.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch.
The Holy Grail. 5:37 as we close in on Showdown 53, special edition of Kimbo on the Rooch. We're live from the Adelaide Oval, where Port Adelaide are getting flogged in the first showdown. 6-10-46 to 18-9-117. The Big Easy just whacked through a goal there for the Adelaide Crows. We're here thanks to Hyundai. The Hyundai Tucson, tomorrow's SUV, in stock now. Nathan Van Berlo coming up live in about 10 minutes' time. But right now, walking into our commentary box is the two-time Premiership captain, Rooch, and star of the SEN Breakfast Show, along with Jared Walsh, Mark Bickley. Bix, you're a little enamoured with the odds of Adelaide at the moment.
Oh, g'day, Kimbo. G'day, Michelangelo. Yes, Adelaide and Port Adelaide. It just seems a bit one-sided as I'm watching Matty Wright have a shot at goal. He's been a very good player for Adelaide. Yeah, Adelaide at the moment are paying $3. I think it's something like $3.20 or $3.30 for a win, and Port Adelaide $1.35. For me, I think Port Adelaide should start favourite, and I've actually tipped Port Adelaide, and I think they'll win. But I just think the odds are much closer than that. I would have thought it's around...
Given a showdown, but Rooch has some...
Which was something around $1.80 to $2.50 or something.
Which was that famous showdown in the 2000s where Adelaide was about $3.45 and had the most remarkable, remarkable second half to win it?
Was that the Mark Ricciuto?
Yeah, kick. He, I reckon he kicked six and had 38
to win it, but
possessions. Yeah.
Hey, remember, if you're having a dabble, remember what you are gambling with. Okay, I just
and
had a look
you win
at Jackson.
Some, you lose more. Is that the latest one?
That's the latest one. I just had a look at Jackson Hatley down there. He's getting some good touches. Is he AFL level, Bix? Where's he at?
Not at the moment. I watched him fairly closely today, and Adelaide's midfield has been dominant today. So the midfield has been Crouch, Schomburg, Haitley and Tyler Brown. Schomburg and Tyler Brown have probably been the best of the two of them. So Tyler Brown, the sort of pre-season recruit. Matt Crouch has had a stack of footy, but he's looked a little bit rusty at times, and that's expected. I was surprised to see him back in so quickly after fracturing his leg at training. So that must have been a minor fracture. But he's what Adelaide are crying out for. He's a big body. He's 191 centimetres. He's got, he's probably 90 kilos, but just hasn't been able to. Well, there's two things. When he played last year, he played on the wing, which is not really his go. If he's going to play him as an inside midfielder, because he's not that really classy, by foot and uses the ball super well. But what he does do is compete really strongly. So I hope next time he gets into the Adelaide side, if he works his way in through some good form in the sample, that they play him as that inside midfielder and he stands some of the bigger body, like today it'll be Ollie Wines, or it'll be, last week it would have been, Taranto, who ended up having a really good game and, similar type thing, 188 centimetres and 90 kilos.
Bix, we want to get a few hard questions at you. We want to get to Nathan Van Berlo on time, so we're going to go to break early. But just really quickly and as brief as you can, we were thinking these would be the matchups up, down back for Adelaide and up forward for Port. Dixon Butts, Murray Marshall, Michael Annie Rioli. Thoughts?
Yep, that sounds about right.
About right, you reckon?
I think so. Yeah, and I don't think Adelaide have too many options, to be honest. Butts is their tallest one, so you put him on the biggest rooster, and Murphy's a bit more mobile.
We go to a break. So where does Tommy Jonas go? Now, he's under a bit of pressure at the moment. Does that mean he picks up? We've seen him take Eddie Betts before. Mm. Does that mean he goes to Rochelle and Rankin?
I wouldn't be putting him on Rankin.
Where does he go? That's the thing.
Oh, well, what will happen is Adelaide will have a half forward that plays up so the half forward, and I think it was Lockie Murphy. So Murphy goes up the ground, yeah, Pedler, those types, and they get involved in the stoppage. And what will happen is Tom Jonas will say, guess what? You can be an extra up there amongst all the traffic, and I'll stay back and hopefully try and intercept Mark or drop in front of Taylor Walker.
All right, Bix, we really want you to stay around. Bix Squad, Nathan Bambilo here, and I know you've got some questions you want to ask him. Chase Jones will be the sub for Adelaide, and Orazio Fantasia for Port Adelaide. We're going to take a quick break. We're live from Adelaide Oval ahead of Showdown 53.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full
of the Holy Grail. 5:46 on a Saturday afternoon. We're live from Adelaide Oval ahead of Showdown 53. Kimbo on the Rooch with you. Thanks to Hyundai and our great friends at Balfour's, who've been baking people happy since 1853. Kimbo, Michelangelo, and the dual premiership captain Mark Bickley in the comms box at the moment as we welcome a man we spoke to yesterday. He's been kind enough to get on the phone 2 days in a row. That's how much he likes us. Nathan Bambilo, midfield coach, and he'll be earning his bucks today. Hello, Nathan.
G'day, guys. A pleasure twice in 2 days. How lucky am I?
Oh, I know. Well, we got more we can ask you now. We know the sub is going to be Chase Jones. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Chase Jones is our sub.
And the logic there?
Logic there is Chase can come in and play a number of roles for us. So whether we need him early or we need him late as a strategic sub, he fills a number of roles there for us. So we think he's good versatility for us.
VB, just watching the game, the Sandful game before the match that's going to take place tonight, Crows won comfortably. Midfield was really dominant, so you would have been happy with the way that Harry Schomburg went back. He got plenty of footy, kicked a couple of goals. Tyler Brown was pretty solid as well, as was Matt Crouch for his first game back.
Yeah, Bix, they were really solid, and it's, you know, one of the areas where I got some depth in at SANFL level, and I thought Kieran Strawn worked his way into the game. Zach Taylor continues to show his development in there, and Jackson Haley's been a rock for us in there for the last 12 months at least. So it's a strong point of our squad. And as I said, it's sort of good to have that bit of depth. And we saw Harry, obviously not in the AFL team this week. He's gone back and played a really good game by the looks of it, which keeps the heat on at AFL level.
Let's talk about the centre square, because you've had some sort of poor moments in there over the last 2 weeks, conceded 4 goals from centre bounce last week. How much work have you been doing on that to try and, I guess, limit the ease of which at times the opposition have been walking out of there?
Yeah, we have certainly been putting some work in, Bix, identifying there's been a few times we've been scored against, and even last week there was a couple of times where we did get scored against. We had more than enough opportunity to send the ball forward ourselves, but off a couple of errors, it goes back the other way. So we've got to tidy up some fundamentals, but also some method with how we go about it. On the flip side, we've been really pleased. We've actually been scoring a lot better from centre bounce as well. So it's actually sort of a bit of a double-edged sword. We're happy with aspects of it, and other sides defensively, we need to just tighten up a bit on as well.
Nathan, what's the best way a showdown could play out for Adelaide? What style of game would you best like to see?
I think it's going to come down to a contest game, I think, Rooch, and that's sort of where, when we are at our best, we're able to make it into that contest game, and it's about getting that forward momentum, getting it in your front half. And I think the team that's able to do that for the biggest majority tonight, knowing that that's the way that both teams like to play when they're at their best, is, I think, going to be the team that comes out on top. What we do need to do is we need to maximise the most of our chances that we do get tonight. The last couple of weeks we haven't been able to do that, but ultimately that scoreboard pressure adds another layer if we're able to get on top and keep the pressure on in that regard as well.
VB, we always appreciate your time. You're an hour and 10 minutes away from Showdown 53. We can see Port Adelaide out warming up at the moment. Take us through what's happening down in your rooms at the moment.
Okay, so I guess the coaches, we've been sitting together just talking around some final bits of planning for the game, around some what-if scenarios. Players have just got time to themselves at the moment, so there's There's guys getting massages. There's guys kicking some footies, getting all their strapping done and getting their heads right to go in the game. So in a short period of time, they'll head out for their individual warm-up on ground before we go out as a team. So just individual prep for now, and everyone's different. Everyone does it differently, but getting themselves ready.
So when do they get addressed by the line coaches and the senior coach?
That'll be in about 15, 20 minutes, I think it is. Okay. I can't remember the time exactly, but it's just after this. We'll head back in and come together as a group and get our final bits of planning sorted, reiterate what we want to do.
VB, were you surprised with the selection of Port Adelaide? They dropped Georgiades and Orazio Fantasia, which I guess raised an eyebrow for some. Orazio's most likely going to be the sub. Did that surprise you at all? And I guess does that change anything or any the way you set up down back?
It doesn't change anything about what we do. Bix as such, sort of going to still be about us, what we control. We obviously brought in Jordan Butts. We were pleased with the response that he made last week. And the SANFL comes back in and gives us that bit more of a key position body behind the ball. So this week, that's our suited mix that we want to get. So that's what we've gone in with, and we'll see how we go.
How strongly did you consider Elliot Himmelberg down back? He went down back when the substitution was made. He took a couple of intercept marks. I wondered whether you might have continued with that little experiment, but you went back to Jordan instead.
It was certainly a discussion. We certainly had a chat around. We liked what Elliot did behind the ball off, I guess, some limited prep in that space and limited time down back. But ultimately, we went with Butsy down there. He's proven that he's played roles down there for us a number of times. And I think what it shows us with Elliot is he's got the ability to be really versatile for us. Obviously, playing down back, we know he can play in the ruck, and he's a key forward position as well for us. So, got a lot of strings to his bow, and we'll work out exactly where we hone his craft in the coming months, but it looks like it's going to be more that forward ruck combo at the moment.
Nathan, just to go back to your point there about when you and Matthew Nick, Scott Burns and James Riley get together, what's the most common what-if that you've got for this showdown among the four of you?
Tell him nothing.
He thinks you're kidding me if you think I'm going to tell you anything about that, Roach.
I thought I'd try. You tried yesterday
as well.
Good try, but no thanks.
Well
played, VB. The Roach is sitting here in his prison bar jumper at the moment. Hey, we know how busy you are. We really appreciate it. Let's hope it's a cracking game and the umpires don't have any influence on it, and may the best team win.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
He's a ripper, Nathan Van Berlo. Bix, you've been there as an assistant.
What do you reckon the biggest what if is?
The biggest what
for
if
for Adelaide in this game?
I would have thought it's if Rosie gets off the chain. He's the most dangerous player on the ground, and mainly you could probably put the whole midfield in there.
I would have thought that they go like they have. You know, it's bang, 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 bang. You lose four centre clearances in a row. What's the contingency plan there? Will they pull the trigger and get a big body in there in Jordan Dawson if that happens?
I think it's more a structural thing for Adelaide. Like, I've watched it pretty closely and, watched GWS and then again against Richmond. What you can't have is if you lose the centre square, you can't have them running out of the front of the stoppage, because if they come out the front of the stoppage, you pretty much run to the centre square and you're putting it either in the goal square or having a shot on goal. So what that means is that guy who plays on the defensive side just cannot get drawn into the footy. Mm. And there's a couple of times last week, and it's always tough. If the ball gets tapped into an area, Rory Laird got drawn in a couple of times. If he goes to the footy and doesn't get it, and he was that defensive guy, then the whole front of the stoppage is open. And the one that VB talked about where they had their hand on the ball first, that was a couple of times Laird actually won that ball and turned the ball over, gave it away, and it ended up going the other way. And then when Adelaide got to within a point at the 12-minute mark of the last quarter, the two next centre bouncers went bang, bang, and they kicked two goals. And then effectively that was the killed the momentum and ended the game for Adelaide. And it was just same sort of thing. Too easy to come out. The player at the defensive side committed too early and just opened up the whole front of the stoppage.
And Bix, correct me if I'm wrong, the what-ifs are a serious conversation. They're not a casual chat. It's not like coaching in the 80s or perhaps even the 90s. You have all the scenarios. Charlie Dixon kicks four in the first quarter. Jordan Butts is on him. What do we do with Butts? Where do we hind him? Who do we switch around? Where does he go? Yeah. When do you activate now the tactical stub?
And what
happens on the other side of the coin here? What are the what-ifs for Port Adelaide?
Yeah, I think for me, it's the forward line. Like, Port Adelaide a bit like Adelaide, a little bit brittle in defence, haven't been playing all that well.
True.
And you're just struggling to find someone. Like Isaac Rankin, at some stage, will light up. And he lit up in the first half of the GWS game. We saw him kick bags in some of the practice matches in the early part of the year. So he, to me, is a really difficult matchup for Port Adelaide. They don't really have those lockdown defenders. So whether it's Darcy Byrne-Jones or Dan Houston, or, you know, they're not really your lockdown style of player. And he's a difficult matchup at the best of times. And it's just, I just wonder, getting in front of a big crowd here at Adelaide Oval, I just feel like it, you know, in the next month, he is going to explode at some stage.
Bix, Rooch and I were talking earlier. The problem for Adelaide, they've played 3 good quarters out of 8 in the last 2 games. It's been that inexperience or the inconsistency. We wrote down the midfields and you do the comparisons, and they've got the same problem today. We'll go through it again. Midfield, Port Adelaide, Rosie, Butters, Wines, Boak, Drew, Jason Horn, Francis, Bergman, Dersma on the wing. You go to Crows, you have Laird, experience. Berry, Keys, Soligo, Rochelle, Rankin. Maybe Dawson has a squirt. Then you have Scholl and Hinge or Sloan on the wings.
Yep.
The Port list is far superior in that area at the moment.
Yeah, and just have a wider range of attributes. Rosie's got burst speed and sideways movement. Butters is very, very much a zig and a zag type player. He's got sideways movement.
And he hits a body.
Yeah, and in under. I think Adelaide, a very blue collar. Laird, Berry, a similar, you know, and some of the other players. Rochelle's got some tricks, you know, and he's able to do some sideways movement. But the issue with all those players is they're all still learning their craft. I love Jake Soligo and all those players. But what happens is, after a while, so you take Connor Rosie as an example. He was playing half forward with a few squirts in the middle over the past couple of years, and he was getting his 18 and 19 and 15 disposals and kicking a goal or two. But once you play in the midfield for a while, and Patrick Dangerfield was the same. I remember Scott Camporelli doing a lot of work with both Dangerfield and Sloan as young players. They all just were contested players, and they win the hard balls. But you've also got to learn how to get on the end of easy balls as well. And that's where you end up with 30 possessions and 28 possessions. And right now, Adelaide's midfielders, you know, Berry's had 12 and 14. Soligo's had 15 and 16. Schomburg had 12 and 14 playing midfield the whole day. So Laird's really the only player who amasses a lot of ball. And then he's a bit hit and miss with how much penetration you get from him.
Why not put Dawson
there?
Well,
that's right, exactly. And I think as well for Dawson, I think it's a good thing for him, because if you are the skipper and you're trying to impose yourself on the game, you've got to be where the action is happening. And you've got to be able to use your attributes and your merits to win some footy and inspire your team. And at the moment, down back, he's getting a lot of handball receives. And I think last week, 27 disposals and 4 of those were contested. I want to see him get his knees dirty and lead from the front, which it's hard to do as a back pocket, but much easier.
And they say they love the way he uses the ball and he intercepts from half back and it sets up a lot of attacks, but surely you'd rather attack from the centre and not from half back.
That's right. And where he can
Jordan Dawson on the show, tell me if he was being sarcastic here. We said, right, he gave the company answer about he doesn't care where he plays. And I said, hang on. I've just made you coach, your captain, and your selector. Where are you putting yourself? This was Jordan Dawson on his favourite position. Number 30, guys. Jordan Dawson on where his favourite position is.
Half forward.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest positions to play. Yeah.
Well, you just said I'm the selector, so maybe that's well. Who knows? I might play there this week. We'll just have to wait and see.
Now, I think he's being a bit of a smarty pants. No one says half forward, do they? Is he trying to do a Craig McRae?
I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. What would happen if he lines up at half forward this week?
Well, you could do that to start with.
Well, here's the thing.
It'd cause a bit of chaos.
The reason you play half forward is the exact reason we talked about with Tom Jonas. What happens if you play half forward and you go up to the footy, what does the half back do? He drops off. And this is the conundrum that we had when I was coaching at Adelaide. Every time with Robbie Gray and Justin Westhoff. So you don't follow Robbie Gray up. You let him wander up like an unregistered dog around the stoppage. What does he do? He gets 5 touches in 5 minutes. Mm. So then you say, oh, well, we're going to have to follow him up. So then you follow him up and you empty out your forward line. Yeah. So you've got one less defender. Yeah. And similarly with Westhoff. You don't follow Westhoff up. He jumps up. He's third man up when you're allowed to do that. He takes marks and he's able to just run around like and do his own thing. So maybe that's what Adelaide are thinking.
So what if Dawson goes there, what happens? Would it be Tom Jonas?
Well, it would be probably Houston would Houston? Most likely.
And then you take away an attacking.
So, yeah, but what they would do, they would probably let him go up into that sort of stoppage. And then they're hoping that their midfielders and wingers can cover off on him as best they can. But it's a much more difficult decision. If it's Lachie Murphy, they say, well, Lachie Murphy, how much is he going to hurt us? If it's Jordan Dawson and he gets three touches and puts them down Taylor Walker's throat.
Or kicks him from 50.
Or kicks him from 50, then you're saying, I think we might have to follow that player up. So that's maybe what one of the tactics they might employ.
Tell me, Mark, does the showdown, because of what it is in the context of a derby in this market, does it change this scenario? When we had the Richmond game of round two, Matthew Nix was quite clear. He said if it came to a case of whereby it was the game on the line, he would stick with his young midfielders rather than go for that mix of, say, Laird, Keys, Dawson, the big bodies in there. And that's what how it played
experience,
out. If it's a 1 point late in the last quarter game, is it break glass in case of emergency and abandon investing in youth to say, no, we've got to win this game and we will go with a big body and an experience?
Look, I think it's always what's happening on the day. Like last week, if the game was in the balance, you know, I'm much more comfortable still having Josh Rochelle in there because he's playing really well.
He's had his the equal most clear centre clearances along with Rory Laird. And you look at the amount of minutes he's had.
Only four. It's a really small number. You know, I think one or two of the GWS players had four on their own in the first rounds. It hasn't been a strength. I know VB mentioned they've been doing some work on it. I would hope so because they've just been outbodied. They haven't really looked cohesive, and I guess you play in different teams. Like you think about Wines and Rosie and you know, I know Butters is pretty new in there, and so is Horn Francis. But if you go back a year or two, those guys, if you get four or five guys that have spent 3 or 4 years in the middle, you start to understand your roles and how it plays. And I know in my time, the reason I know that defensive role pretty well because that's what I played. And we had hit two players, which were always McLeod and Edwards and Rusciuto, because they could win it and they could read it beautifully off the ruckman's hand. But so everyone had a role. We knew where people were going and what they were doing. So that cohesion is really important. But when you start throwing, Rankin's brand new, Rochelle's brand new, Saligo's just coming through there for the first time. Berry and Laird have been in there a bit. Keys was in there a lot, but now he's out. So
Will he be?
You're flipping a lot of other players through there. So they're still understanding a little bit about cohesion and how each other sort of roll.
Hey, Bix, you're part of AFL Nation, which is called Showdown. We're not using AFL Nation because it's going all around Australia tonight. Showdown, this is a huge game. You'll be part of our call team along with David Wilde and myself. So we'll let you prepare.
Can't wait.
But I would love it if you can just stay on the other side. I want to throw two more questions at you. Then we'll get David Wilde and then we'll give you a break. All right, this is Kimbo on the Roach, a special edition as we preview Showdown 53. We're here thanks to Hyundai, the Tucson, tomorrow's SUV in stock now.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full of the Holy Grail.
You can send a text on 0427 154 166. If you want to have a chat, the number's 1300 736 736. This is our special edition, our showdown preview, The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. All thanks to Hyundai and Balfour's. No matter your club's colours, Balfour's are for the game. Bix has stayed around just to take a couple more questions. Bix, I want to throw one at you with Rory Sloan, where he's at the moment. A former captain, he's such a warrior. No one ever wants to be disrespectful. No one expected him to come back as a wingman. Mm. We certainly didn't. If he goes head-to-head, like the old days when you're up against one opponent, and he goes all day against Dersma, how does he fare?
Yeah, I'm not totally unhappy with that. I think Rory's he's a different player than what he was, and he's just still adjusting to that. Rory covers the ground as well as a lot of players. He's still super fit. And, sometimes in the olden days, we thought, oh, as blokes get older, they, you know, they struggle and they slow down and they can't run as far. But those days have just, you know, think of Travis Boak and Scott Pendlebury and the guys that are so pedantic with their preparation, which Rory is. I don't think it's an impediment for those guys. And he's not, you know, he's not in the sort of Dustin Fletcher 40 years of age bracket. He's only 32 or 33, isn't he?
And yeah, he is. Just as a wingman, as the season goes on, he can be exposed for pace, he can be exposed for height.
Yeah, I think in the end, wing is a really tactical position. So the speed on the wing, I don't think is as important as it used to be. It's really about you've got to be able to run all day. So the wing provides a lot of cover in your defence. Wingers spend most of their time in the back half of the ground, generally, tactically.
Unless you're Ed Langdon.
Yeah, well, he spends it everywhere, doesn't he? Front, back, he's all over the shop. And but also, it's around stoppage is really important as well. You provide cover. So, you know, Rory's a, you know, it's if it's structurally really important, you need to make sure that person is concentrating the whole time and providing cover. So whilst he may not be as athletically gifted as he was as a 25-year-old, he's much more experienced and he's making sure he's making those decisions perhaps a little bit earlier and getting to the spots he needs to get. And you watch him today, he'll be backing back into that hole in front of blokes like Dixon and Marshall and those guys, and he just does it, you know, without fear or favour. That's what he is. That's why he's so inspirational. So I'm not all that concerned. And I've just know that coming back after a knee reconstruction does take time. So let's judge him maybe at the halfway mark of the year rather than after two rounds.
And what about at the other extreme, Mark, where you've got two young men, Jason Horne-Francis, Isaac Rankin, who haven't experienced a showdown before. Rankin's got more experience in the terms of years in the AFL, but Jason Horne-Francis is interesting because of all the attention on him. As a man who's been there and lived showdowns from start, what's the best advice that a senior player could give Jason Horne-Francis and Isaac Rankin?
Yeah,
right now?
I just look at those two blokes and I just feel as if just play. Like, I think they have been sort of dreaming about having an opportunity to play in front of big crowds. Yep. Rankin in particular, you know, having been at the Gold Coast for 4 years and probably, excuse me, playing in front of, you know, home crowds of between 8 and 12,000 people, sometimes less. I think this is the reason he came back, to play in front of big crowds. Jason Horne-Francis as well. You know, I just get this sense. If you think back to that game he played at South Adelaide in the finals before he got drafted, he kicked five goals in a losing prelim, I think it was. That was in front of a big crowd. The bigger the occasion, good players sort of revel in that the occasion, and I think those guys will revel in the occasion today.
Dix, the other one I wanted to ask you quickly, we need to go to another break. In 30 seconds, tell me, how will we remember Wayne Miller? Or where's he at? It's a tough question, but high draft pick or early draft pick?
Yeah, pick 10.
Yep.
He hasn't reached his heights yet, and that's...
Will he?
Well, I hope so. He's had 2 years out of footy with a knee patella injury, so... I just feel like he needs some continuity in his football, and he hasn't had that. It was disappointing last year when he came back and really...
That was first year back, though. This year, that's right. And he needs to stand up.
Well, I've spoken to a lot of people at Adelaide, and they were so happy with his pre-season. And Matthew Nicks said he was the most impressive player of the whole pre-season. Yeah. So I'm just hoping that starts to shine through, because round one was problematic. And then round two, he's injured. So he's really, we haven't seen anything yet. And hopefully, he's going to play across halfback today. So let's hope we see his ball use. The other thing he does do as well, which is important, he's able to balk. And when you balk and walk around someone and then run forward, it puts the opposition's defence out of position. So that's what they'd be hoping to see a bit of from
him. And it certainly opens up the game. Hey, Bix, really appreciate your input. We look forward to working with you tonight for the big showdown coverage that gets underway at 7. And our other coverage gets underway at 6:30. We're going to go to a break. Kim Dillon with you, along with Michelangelo Ricci. David Wilde will join us a little bit later, possibly as well, as we preview Showdown 53 live from the Adelaide Oval.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line, taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch.
Well, the hunters and collectors a little bit scratchy at the moment, Rooch.
Pre-game nerves.
Kid. Yeah, they all happens to everyone, even the big news. 6:17 showdown. Only what 40-odd minutes away, Rooch, and the stadium's starting to fill
nicely.
Up. If we don't get over 50,000, I'll go heave for Chasey. Hey, a massive game at Giants Stadium. 7 minutes into the last quarter.
Wow.
There's 1 point in it. 57 plays 58. I'll have to check. Last I looked, Harry McKay hadn't scored a goal, nor had Toby Green, unless they've kicked the last goal.
I tell
goal.
You who has scored one and scored a very good one is Kernow, Charlie Kernow.
He can play. He's an absolute beauty. We're live from the Adelaide Oval ahead of Showdown 53. Mm. Hey, we appreciate all the texts coming through for Nearest the Pin as well. You can win yourself a Cigna Boost power bank. It's worth $44.95. Keeps your phone, tablet, earbuds powered. All you have to do is tell us who wins the showdown and by how much, and you will win that Cigna Boost power bank. If we don't read your name out, it doesn't matter. We'll have all the details here and we'll give it away and announce it on Monday's show. Good chat with Bix. I like talking to people that have been in the commentary box. We can all speculate, Rooch, but let's be really honest. You haven't sat in the coach's box for a long time.
No, not since the John Cale days, Kim.
Well, exactly, when you're a Isn't double interesting agent writing for the advertiser and sabotaging every other side.
It was actually even 10 years before that,
all
Kim.
Right, then I'll get
that. But isn't it interesting how positional roles in footy have changed. Listening to Mark there about how much you guard space rather than guard a player. I mean, that's something that traditionalists still can't get their head around, that you've got players who are marking a zone, which Neil Craig changed the game of footy in 2005, 2006
for
that zone system.
Yep.
But just how a role such as, he pointed out, the wing, is very much now about guarding an area rather than guarding a player.
Well, we're David Noble on, and please, people out there that are listening, don't scoff. David Noble has a world of football knowledge.
Yep.
And he said, and I also heard it from Leon Cameron, I can't remember the other coach, the revival of the wingman. They said it is such an important and tactical position
role,
now.
Yep.
Hence the question with Rory Sloane. We know he's a warrior. We know he's a competitor. But can he be exposed? You know, if the Crows were to be the real deal, and you're on the G in a big final,
to give another element to that,
a bigger opponent.
Yeah. But to add another element to your question there, what was the one thing we kept saying about the Crows midfield, not only last year, but the year before and the year before that? It needed speed.
It needed speed and some bigger bodies.
And Rory Sloane's got a big heart. But he doesn't have speed.
No, we don't see him in there anymore. Well, you wouldn't say Sam Berry's super quick.
Yeah.
Josh Rochelle, he's got wheels, but he's not super quick. But, gee, he's got a footy IQ. Mm. It's going to be interesting. Todd Marshall, he has become a player. There's no question of that.
Smart player.
Great footy IQ.
Yeah,
we always saw that as a youngster. Yep. He just needed to grow into his body. Mm. We heard from him earlier in the week. He was on with Bix and Walshy, and he talked about the importance of getting off to a quick start tonight.
I think a good start is a key in a showdown. And, round one when we started well, the crowd got behind us. And in the third quarter when we, you know, got a bit of a run on, the crowd was, super electric. So we're going to be looking to do that again this week, and hopefully we can do it right from the first bounce. And, yeah, the crowd gets involved and stays involved on our side.
The crowd is going to be unbelievable. The Giants have just hit the lead. They lead by 5 points at Giants Stadium.
How long to go?
11-minute mark of the final term.
Ooh.
We'll keep you across that one. We need to go to a break. If you've just joined us, we can tell you that the Adelaide Crows absolutely belted Port Adelaide in the early game to the tune of 78 points. This is Kimbo on the Rooch.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line. Taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch.
Hyundai Tucson N-Line. Taken to the next level. In stock now. Book a test drive online.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch.
Hope you've enjoyed it. We've heard from a lot of different people. Enjoyed the chat with Bix as well. We're here thanks to Hyundai, the Tucson, tomorrow's SUV in stock now, and our good friends at Balfour's. No matter your club's colours, Balfour's are for the game. You slammed two sausage rolls yesterday, Rooch.
No, it was only one. It was a giant one. It was worth two.
The equivalent of two. Yes. It was a big mother.
Hey, if it's with Balfour's, I'll have three.
Roach, time to give our tips for the game.
What about Brett's tip on our text line for our prize as well? If that was to happen, that would be an extraordinary fallout with that result.
Port Adelaide by 86 points. We haven't read out all the nearest the pins. Well, we know that Brett's a passionate Port man. Hey, it could happen. I'd like to think Adelaide's improved since round 23 last year, Roach. But you never know. If Port get on their bike like they did in the second half against Brisbane, or if Adelaide play like the three quarters, the first two against GWS and the third quarter against Richmond, anything could happen.
Yeah,
here's another text, Roach.
Yep.
Disgraceful effort by the Port Adelaide reserves team tonight. If they are going to dish up that rubbish, it's going to be a long season. Time to retire the black and white and wear the power jumper in the Sandville, unfortunately. I can't call them Magpies anymore.
Well, that is a preemptive and probably predictive text, because I would say that in 5 years' time you will be seeing a Port Adelaide reserves side wearing whatever jumper the senior team is wearing, and they'll be playing in a national reserves competition.
Yeah, careful what you wish for, and then that's the death
but
of the Magpies.
Yeah, well, but it's not the death of the Port Adelaide Footy Club. And that's why it is important tonight for that Bars jumper, which recognises a strong part of Port Adelaide's heritage. They haven't always been black and white, and they haven't always been Magpies, but it's the most appropriate place for it to be now. It is to be known as their showdown jumper. That's why I have the belief it should be worn at every showdown, because it's just their showdown jumper. It's the best way to remember it, Kim.
Well, of course,
it's the same way Brisbane are respectfully recognising the Fitzroy jumper when they go on
their own. You can make arguments that there's two showdowns, and as I said, from a commercial point of view, I could understand if Adelaide dug in.
I just don't see where it hurts them, that's all. I think it actually adds to...
You need to open your eyes to the...
Well, you reckon that all those Crow sponsors that have been so loyal to Adelaide...
It's a free ad for your heritage. They don't have to give you a free kick if they're across town.
You can't deny. As soon as you put Port Adelaide's name on a scoreboard, that's part of their heritage. Like it is tonight. Have a look. That scoreboard has got...
I'm not going to argue with you, because you've been arguing this way too long.
It's using the Port Adelaide...
Roach, give me your tip.
Port Adelaide.
Give me a tip. We've got to go.
I've told you Port Adelaide by 4 goals, 12.
4 goals, 12.
Which is 6 goals.
Okay, I'll go by Port Adelaide by 16 points. I reckon the Crows will
16.
Have a crack.
16 behinds or 16 points?
Let's just hope there's some accuracy tonight. We hope you've enjoyed the run home with Kimbo and the Roach. Oh, I should have brought up the Prison Bar jumpers.
Oh, hey, it's a passionate topic.
I know. Let's hope the best team wins. There's going to be 50,000 here. You can hear it all on our showdown coverage tonight with David Wilde, Mark Bickley, and myself. Enjoy.
Good night, everyone.